Shalom to the bride of Christ, and God bless you. It's question and answer time with Pastor Moses Alu. For every Bible question, there's a Bible answer. And it's going to be very, very, very great this evening. And your host for this program is our beloved Pastor, Brother Moses Alu. Shalom, sir.
Shalom. Good to be on air again for yet another in-depth search of the truth.
Hallelujah.
We have a lot of things we say from this ministry, and we don't want to leave anybody confused.
Amen.
Remember, what we are a product of is the restoration ministry.
Hallelujah.
It's the attempt of God to bring us back to Bible Christianity.
Amen.
And like the presenter just mentioned, we believe for every Bible question, there is a Bible answer.
Amen.
This is a program for a Bible study, general Bible study. Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Amen.
And if you actually study, then you will certainly see reason to ask some questions. And this program, I am here as a Bible teacher, not because I think I know all. Certainly, I don't know all.
Amen.
But the much I know, I will attempt to answer them and answer confidently.
Amen.
I take note of verse 16. It said, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase more unto ungodliness. I'm not here to argue with anybody. I'm only here to state it as I know it. But you can feel free, of course, to call me to correct me if you think I am wrong. But please, don't correct me by your idea. Correct me. Don't correct me even by your denominational teaching.
That's right.
But correct me by the Bible.
Amen.
And with this, I say shalom to the bride of Christ. And I say we are ready to fire on with our general Bible study. Approaching it from question and answer style. Let me put it that way.
Amen.
So, Olumide,
okay.
I am ready for you.
All right. This program is for you, our viewers at home. For every Bible question, there's a Bible answer. Sami, I have a question since we are waiting our viewers at home to call us.
Go ahead.
Okay. The revelation about the Tower of Babel. Judging from what you taught us last week, before the first caller will call in today. And I would love for you to, you know, speak on that again while we are with the first call.
The Tower of Babel, you see, one thing with the scripture is, I think that is Genesis
11.
Genesis chapter number 11. The earth being populated now.
Yes, sir.
And the whole earth, verse 1 says, was of one language and of one speech. They came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there, and they said one to another, go to, let us make brick.
Amen.
And burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men
builded.
And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, united.
That's
and
true.
They have all one language. And this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do.
Amen.
And what do they imagine? What did they imagine to do? They imagine to build themselves a city and a tower that will reach heaven.
Amen.
And then he said, go to, let us go down, and there confound their language that they may not understand one another's speech. So, to me, if you look at it, science has let you know now, when you say heaven, where is heaven? It's, of course, heaven is talking about the throne of God.
That's true.
Heaven is God's dwelling place. That's how we know.
Amen.
But at the same time, too, heaven is connoting the atmosphere, you know, around the earth.
Yes, sir.
You know, the sky. There is no practical city, nothing you can build that will go up until it meets heaven.
Okay, we have a call. A caller Uche from Abuja, Brother Uche from Abuja. God bless you. Matthew 24:20. Okay. What is your question, sir?
Our
flight. Okay. Okay, sir, just pay close attention.
In Matthew 24, take note that Jesus Christ had spoken in Matthew 23 from verse 37 and spoken in other scriptures, including Luke 19. And he says, verse 37 of Matthew 23, he said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often will I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye will not. Behold, your house is left unto you
desolate.
Here is empty. For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth. You shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Still, if you still go to Luke, Luke chapter 21 from verse 20. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Desolation here is a time where the whole city will be declared empty. Everything there will be scattered. Now, if you go to chapter 19, again, Luke chapter 19, from verse 41. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hast known, this city is Jerusalem, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thy eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thy enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. So when we come to Matthew 24, where you are asking your question, Christ Jesus was now telling his own disciples, knowing this prophecy he said will come to pass, he was now telling them now in advance. He told them from verse 15, he says, when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. He said, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. They said, but pray ye, that's what you are asking, that your flight be not in the winter. Neither on the Sabbath day. Now, when you then in added verse 21, for there shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. This prophecy was fulfilled when the city was invaded in AD 70.
Amen.
When General Titus, as history tells us, came with his soldiers and circled and surrounded Jerusalem for a number of periods, because there was a rebellion that was taking place there, and was appealing to them to stop the rebellion that was going on there. Remember, they were now under the Roman Empire.
That's right.
And they refused. Instead, they turned and began to fight those Roman soldiers. And Christ is telling them, telling his disciples now, that when they begin to see that city and camp round about like that,
amen,
if you are outside the city, don't come back again.
Mm.
If you're in the rooftop, don't come down. Now, verse 20, why he says, but pray ye that your flight be not in the winter. The reason is because when it is winter, you will run. There's nowhere to hide. It will be too cold.
Mm.
You have nowhere to hide. Mm-hmm. The whole place is too cold.
Mm.
Neither on the Sabbath day, because the Sabbath day, everybody will be in the city.
Mm.
So the gate will be closed.
Wow.
Because, you know, of the Sabbath law.
Yes, sir.
So he said, pray that it doesn't happen that day, even though nobody will be saved.
Mm.
And this part of this prophecy has been fulfilled already.
Amen.
So that is the meaning. Uche from Abuja. God bless you.
God bless you, Brother Uche from Abuja. You could also get Daniel 70 weeks.
Yes.
Pastor spoke about this also. Daniel 70 weeks.
The sermon.
The sermon topic, Daniel 70 weeks. Made mention of all this. God bless you.
Hello, sir.
Okay. God bless you. You're on question and answer. Sister Veronica.
That is from first part of the we said that if you wash your husband's clothes and you see any money inside and you collect for him without telling him it's a thief. And if you ask your husband money, he refuses to give you and you are in need of money, you cannot go outside and thief. And you collect your husband money, you use the thing and you still tell him that you collect so money, do something. With God, we judge you on this case. Please, I want Daddy to explain this because I commit so many sins of lying because of my marriage and need peace. I used to lie too much, and I'm feeling that I have Holy Spirit because I'm very happy. I'm the happiest person in this entire message so far from my heart too. I don't know how other people are seeing it, but I'm very happy. But I always see that if I have the Holy Ghost in me, should I be lying because I need peace for my marriage, or I should? I don't know, please. I beg, I want Daddy to explain this to me. And how will I go with this lie? It's only concerning my marriage that I used to lie more.
Okay, Sister Veronica, God bless you. This is quite interesting. You are forced to lie to your husband because if you approach him, normally he will not answer you, especially as regards, give me this, give me that. And then sometimes you have to jam money in his pocket. maybe you jam the 5,000 naira inside his pocket, you will declare 2,000 naira. the truth is, you cannot use one error to correct another one.
Wow.
We are Christians, and your husband has a nature, a character that is troublesome. You don't like. You take it to the Lord in prayer. What we do is there is wisdom for every situation. There
Amen.
Is wisdom for every problem.
Amen.
So when you ask God, this is the type of man I am married to. Father, give me wisdom to be able to live with him. You know, he will give you the wisdom.
Amen.
And so don't, you can see your conscience is affected because even your conscience telling you what you are doing is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You have to put that aside and face it the way it should be faced. Live the life as a straightforward so that when you kneel down to pray, God will answer your prayer.
Amen.
Don't lie to your husband.
Amen.
But, you know, go to the Lord in prayer and Amen. He will change him for you. And Amen. He will also give you wisdom to live with such a character. Sister Veronica,
Amen.
I hope that is clear. But if you need further, you can always call my number, okay. Personal number, and then we'll talk more. God bless you.
Okay, thank you so much, Sister Veronica from Delta State. For further counseling, you could contact the pastor directly, and I'm sure he'll be very glad to speak with
Hello.
You.
Hello.
Hello, God bless you. Okay, Sister Benedict from Abuja, God bless you.
Okay, good evening, sir.
Good evening, God bless you. You're on.
My question is taken from the book of Mark.
Mark, okay.
Chapter 13.
Mark chapter 13. Mark 13 verse 30. Okay.
The Bible says, assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place.
Amen.
He said, this generation, I think the generation he's talking about was when he was practically here on earth.
Okay.
So I don't understand what, if you can really help me concise it.
Okay, God bless you, Sister Benedict.
Sister Benedict, you have to catch the proper picture from verse 28. It says, now learn the parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and put forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So ye, in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. It is a parable. And if you listen to the message I preached recently, when I was trying to answer, get the answer, explain the answer Jesus Christ gave to his disciples in Matthew 24 and verse 3, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of that coming and the sign of the end of the world? In Matthew 24, verse 3, I looked at the sign of thy coming. And one of the signs is this parable. And that sign of the coming of the Lord for the rapture, of course, is the restoration of Israel. That fig tree you see there in this parable is Israel.
Amen.
And when you, what that parable is actually explaining is when you will see the nation of Israel come to stand as a nation.
Amen.
They were scattered after AD 70 invasion of the Roman soldiers.
Empire. Amen.
And they scattered them all over Europe and other places. They remained like that until the prophecy of Ezekiel 37, There were those dry bones in the valley.
Amen.
That prophecy was fulfilled. Amen. And a nation was given birth to in one day, according to the prophecy.
Amen.
That just in a day, where have you heard that a nation is given birth to?
Amen.
And then that nation was given birth to by the restoration of Israel back to their homeland in 1948.
Amen.
That was when they came back. And so this parable, Jesus Christ was saying that the generation that we see this fulfilled, Israel coming back to stand as a nation, that generation will not pass, but all these things that he has spoken will come to pass.
Amen.
So, and we are that generation.
Amen.
That see Israel stand as a nation, and we are the generation that will see the soon coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God bless you, my sister from Abuja.
Sir Benedict, God bless you. You could also get the message that was preached on Sunday, the Issachar anointing, part 2. Pastor at length spoke about your question. He answered it very well.
Sunday
19th of January 2020, the Issachar anointing, part 2. He spoke very much about the scripture you just asked. God bless you. Okay, another question from Ghana. Brother Benjamin from Ghana. Shalom, Pastor. I am Brother Benjamin from Ghana. May the Lord bless you for this program. I wish you a happy birthday. My question is on the passage, Passover, Exodus chapter 12, verse 43 to 45. Please kindly help me throw more light on it for me. Is it about visitors not to take part in communion?
43 to 45?
Yes, about visitors not to partake in communion. Exodus chapter 12.
Let's see how it is put there. It says,
verse 43.
Verse 43, and the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat thereof. But every man's servant that is bought for money, when thou hast circumcised him, then shall he eat thereof. A foreigner and an hired servant shall not eat thereof. The reason is because It is meant for only the covenant children of God. And Israel, covenant children, God had covenant with Abraham, sealed with
circumcision.
So a foreigner coming, a stranger coming, is not under that
covenant.
Yes, and so also it is, because Jesus Christ is our Passover.
Amen.
According to 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7.
Amen.
It says Jesus Christ is our Passover.
Amen.
Now, if he is our Passover, that is what is demonstrated by the communion.
Okay.
You know, the communion. It is for believers only. If you are not a believer of what Christ did on the cross of Calvary and demonstrated by your identification with his death, burial, and resurrection, as instituted also through the ordinance of water baptism. If you have not gone through that, before the Lord you are a stranger, before God you are a stranger, you are not to participate in communion. That is the meaning.
Okay. Sir, a follow-up question on that.
Yes.
What if I should travel to Ghana and I should go to a church and they are having communion? No? Is it not...
You are a stranger to that church, not to the body of Christ.
Okay, then I can partake of communion.
You can partake of it.
Okay.
Sure.
All right. Okay.
Thank you very much, Brother Benjamin from Ghana. God bless you. Can we have another caller?
Hello.
Another question from Ebony. Sister Gibbs, God bless you. May we hear your question, please?
I said, according to Malachi 3 verse 10, it says something about tithe.
Okay, Malachi chapter 3 verse 10.
Malachi chapter 3 verse 10.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am. Go on.
He says that you should bring your tithe to the household of God.
Yes, ma'am.
And I want to sell my land. So if I sell this land, should I bring my tithe or should I use it and do business before paying the tithe?
Selling your land is not a capital investment.
Mm.
You sold your land, it became an income to you. Because it is an income to you, it is an income. Therefore, you want to use it to make an investment. You can make several investments with it. That you have to pay tithe from it, because it is an income that came to you.
Okay.
So you pay tithe from it.
Okay.
Or maybe you sat on your own and you decided that there is an investment you want to make that will cost you maybe 10 million naira. And you need capital of 10 million naira to invest in this business.
Mm.
And you have a piece of land. If you can sell it for exactly that 10 million naira, and you use that land to generate exactly that 10 million naira, you don't pay tithe from it.
Okay.
You will invest it, and then the only thing you pay will be now your first fruit from the profit, the first profit that will come from that investment, because it is tied to a project.
Okay.
I hope that is clear.
Okay, so sir, if
But if you just sat down, let me sell this land, any amount I get from it, I want to use it to invest. No, because you certainly will not use the whole money to even invest anyway.
Okay.
It's an income that comes.
Okay, so it's two-sided.
Yes,
okay.
It's two-sided. Yes.
All right. Sister Gift from Ebony, we hope your question is answered properly. God bless you. Okay, we are still waiting for your questions. We have another question from Switzerland. Brother Christian from Switzerland. Why there was still a need to separate light and darkness in Genesis 1:14? While in Genesis 1:3-5, there was already separation. Why was there still a need to separate light?
Why
was there still a need to separate light from darkness
in Genesis 1:14? While in Genesis 1:3-5, there was already separation.
Okay.
Let's take that first question. Is it 1:14?
Yes, sir.
While 1:3-5, there was already separation.
So let's
look at Genesis 1:3-5 first.
Okay.
Before we come and see 1:14. 1:3-5, it says, and God said, let there be light, And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide
the day from the night.
And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. Verse 16. And God made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. So verse 16 answers your question.
Amen.
Those stars are those lights that you see him mention. He called them lights. They are the stars. Whereas there is, and then the stars and the moon. And there are different lights you see there. There is the sun, it's a light. There's the moon, it's a light. There are the stars, and a light. And it's a description of these various lights. Where you see in verse 14. God bless you.
Okay, Brother Christian from Switzerland. Your second question says, why only the living creatures are blessed before they could reproduce? Why from Genesis 1, 11 to 12, the earth only needed God's commandment to do so? In Genesis 1, 12, it even seems that the earth didn't need the sunlight before it brought forth grass and trees.
Let's see it again. Why only the living creatures we are blessed before they could reproduce? While from Genesis 1, 11 and 12, the earth only needed God's commandment to do so. I think the answer is simple, because the plant life is different from animal life.
Amen.
You know, plant life is you can as well see that it grows. It goes in levels of how do I put it? Levels of importance. Also,
yes.
You will notice that the plant were just spoken. Let there be.
Yes.
But
that is third day.
Yes. Mm. And then he spoke to the animals, and when it came to man, he went beyond just speaking. Okay. He did some work.
Formed.
Yes. Mm. Because there are different forms of life.
Amen. Amen.
What the other?
No, that's the question. Yes, sir. Okay. It said the earth did not need sunlight, and it brought forth fruits.
Yes.
Okay.
So, Brother Christian, we hope your question is clear. God bless you. Okay? While we await more questions from our brethren.
You know, the question of the Tower of Babel.
Yes, sir.
Is too deep for me to just make it a statement.
Okay.
Remember that it was a time of rebellion.
Mm.
And the estate that we are in now, that is what that Tower of Dead Babel was pointing to.
Mm.
A period where man would not allow themselves to be ruled by God anymore, but by their ideas.
Mm.
Where we want to live a life where we don't, a godless life.
Mm.
You know, and that is exactly what science aims to achieve.
Okay.
You know, so you see what internet has done.
Wow.
Everything science is achieving now, they're trying to achieve all the qualities, the virtues, the character of God.
Oh God, omniscient.
All that is omniscient. Omniscient here is knowing all things.
Okay. Brother Dauda from Lagos. You are on. Brother Dauda from Lagos. God bless
about,
you.
About the water baptism.
Okay.
They say in Matthew 28:19, they say, go and baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
That's true.
But Pastor was explaining the other time that one is wrong.
Okay.
That Peter and Paul baptized in the name of Jesus.
Okay.
So does it mean that Peter and Paul are greater than Jesus that say, go and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit?
Good question, sir.
Good, thank you very
much. Thank you very much, Bro. Dauda from Lagos.
Yeah, I don't know how you heard us. Maybe, I hope you didn't just hear a clip. I hope you had a full sermon. We try to break it down. Certainly, scripture cannot contradict scripture.
Amen.
All scripture is written
given by inspiration,
of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And the commandment was given to our apostolic fathers.
Amen.
And they passed it down to the apostolic children.
Amen.
We hear. And no matter how error has taken us away from the faith of our fathers, God himself has brought the restoration ministry.
Amen.
To restore us back to the faith of our apostolic fathers.
Amen.
Which is what the entire message is all about.
Amen.
Using his servant, William Marion Branham, in this age.
Hallelujah.
They reject him, and because you reject light, you will remain in darkness.
Amen.
And each time you refuse to follow the present truth, you will abide in the congregation of the dead.
Amen.
This is so simple.
That's
and
true.
When somebody who is speaking good grammar, good English, like the brother who called Dauda from Lagos, and begin to argue this simple thing, I don't know how he will now go to the depth of the mystery of salvation, when ordinary ordinance to obey. And I'm not saying it sarcastically, brother. I'm saying it to wake you up, to make you think beyond what you have been taught in your denomination and come back to the Bible and study the Bible. If Jesus says, baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and Peter says, baptize in the name of Jesus, common sense will tell you, it simply means Jesus is the name of the Father
and
of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And certainly, all the baptism in the New Testament after that commandment were done in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
We didn't see Father, Son, Holy Ghost again. And we are not supposed to just be repeaters of what the scripture says. We are supposed to be obeying what the scripture says.
Hallelujah.
When a commandment is given, you can only rightly obey it if you understand it.
Amen.
And it is the doctrine for justification.
Amen.
So if you study the Bible, you will see that Jesus is the name of the Father.
Amen.
Jesus is the name of the Son.
Amen.
And Jesus is the name of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
It's all there in the scripture.
Sir, you could give him just about three scriptures.
Well, maybe I'll just give you like three scriptures. But you know, some of them, no matter how you give them, they still twist it because some of them can never catch.
Yeah, I believe that that was...
You know, everybody knows the name of the Son.
Amen.
The name of the Son is Jesus.
Amen.
So if you are asked to go and baptize in the name of the Son, which name will you use? I baptize you in the name of the Son. You know the name of the Son is Jesus.
Amen.
Now. Every son has a name.
Amen.
Every father has a name.
Amen.
And Jesus gave us a key.
Amen.
In John chapter 5,
Amen.
And verse 43.
Amen.
That...
I am come in my Father's name.
He said, I am come in my Father's name.
And ye receive me not.
You receive me not.
If another shall come in his own name.
That lets us know that the name he bears is the name of the Father.
Amen.
Now, if you come, go to the what do you call it?
John.
In John.
Chapter 14.
John chapter 14, verse 26.
Yes. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost.
Jesus is saying, but the Comforter...
Which is the Holy Ghost.
Which is the Holy Ghost.
Whom the Father will send in my name.
In which name will it come?
In Jesus' name.
In the name of Jesus, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost will come.
Amen.
So what is the name of the Holy Ghost?
Jesus.
What is the name of the Son?
Jesus.
And what is the name of
the Father,
of the Son? That is why Jesus said, go baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son, the Holy Ghost. And as Christians, everything we do, we have to do it according to Colossians chapter 3, verse 17.
Amen.
In the name
of the Lord Jesus.
The Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Everything. We cast out devils in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
We pray to the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Because Jesus is the name of our Creator.
Amen.
For the purpose of our salvation.
Amen. And Acts 4:12 says, no other name is given under heaven.
No other name is given. Father is certainly not even a name.
Amen.
You know, a name identifies an object.
Amen.
You know, it's a title.
Amen.
Title is different from name.
Amen.
Father is a title.
Amen.
Son is
a
title. And the Holy Ghost is a title.
Amen.
But they have a name.
Amen. God bless you, Brother Dauda from Lagos. We hope the pastor has properly explained While the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost is Jesus Christ. You could get our messages on correct water baptism. Several messages on correct water baptism. And the pastor at length spoke about these titles and name. God bless you. So, no other name given under men. Another question from Ghana. Brother Dor from Ghana. Shalom to the bride of Christ. Please, Pastor Moses, I have read John chapter 4, verse 1 to 40. But verse 40 caught my attention. Could the 2 days in there be the Gentiles' days? Verse 40, John 4, 40. Could the 2 days there be the Gentiles' days?
You say, verse
40.
Let me read it from verse 39 and verse 40.
Okay.
Because this is where Christ goes to the Samaritans to witness to them. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified. He told me all that ever I did.
Wow.
So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there two days. Well, you can liken it, you can apply it, to the 2 days that is allotted to the Gentiles. Because remember that the Jews rejected the Samaritans. They were not in good terms with them. So Jesus going to the rejected is a type of the gospel coming to the Gentiles. So, and the gospel will be with us for two days.
Amen.
And they remember that the good Samaritan also was kept in the inn, for the innkeeper, and then he was paid 2 days' wage, two pence, which is 2 days' wage. That means the patient, the patient will be there taking care of for 2 days, a type of the church.
Amen.
He'll be taking care of the fivefold ministry for 2,000 years.
Mm.
So, it's a good application.
But sir, can we type the New Testament?
Oh, why not? It's we can type it.
Wow.
That's why I said it's all about you typing and applying it.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's not a doctrine. It's just
doctrine.
It just makes it clear.
Okay.
We have 2 days
for
the Gentiles, and then here are Samaritans.
Amen.
He abides with them for 2 days. You can apply it.
Amen.
You can also apply that they went to Jerusalem.
Mm.
And they left Jesus behind.
Mm.
And they only came to find him after three days.
Amen.
And we know three.
Justification,
sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Letting you know the parable in Matthew 24 verse 13.
Mm.
And 13 verse 33.
Okay.
Matthew 13 verse 33. The woman that took the three measures of meal.
Corrupted them.
Corrupted it. You could type it.
Amen.
You know, the full word. Christ restored.
After
they found the word only after the three works, after 3 days, three church ages.
Amen.
Before he was now seen again. So it's all about typing to bring a picture clear.
Okay.
You know.
Okay, Brother Dor from Ghana, we hope your question has been properly answered. God bless you. Yeah. God bless you, sir. Brother Idoko from Benue. God bless you.
Okay. I'm Idoko David. I'm calling from Benue State.
Okay.
Okay. In Genesis chapter 12.
Genesis chapter 3. Okay, go ahead.
Yes, there God caused man.
Okay.
And caused woman also, and caused the serpent.
That's true.
And that is in verse 16 of Genesis chapter 3.
Verse 15. Okay.
God caused the woman that the woman will bear children in pain.
Okay, verse 16. Okay.
And then, after that, he caused man as well.
That's right.
But in Galatians chapter 3.
Galatians 3.
Verse 13.
Verse 13, okay.
The Bible made us to know that Jesus Christ has taken away our curse.
Okay, verse 13. Jesus Christ has taken away our curse.
Now, when the curse is taken away, I believe also that the effect of that curse has been cancelled.
Okay.
And if that curse has been taken away, which was placed upon Adam, which I believe. Now, why is it that women are still bearing children in pain?
Pains. Good question, sir. Good question.
That is my number one question.
Number one question, okay. All right. What's number two question?
During Jesus Christ's earthly ministry, when he came into this world to save mankind.
Yes, sir.
Now, he washed it in the days of Sabbath, that was Saturday.
That's true.
But after his death, the days of worship was changing from Saturday to Sunday. Why is it so?
God bless
when
you, sir.
Jesus himself worshiped on Saturday.
Good question, sir. God bless you.
Thank you.
God bless you, Brother Idoko from Benue. Thank you very much. Thank God I'm not the one answering the question. The pastor is the one answering the question. So, sir, first question is about women bearing in pain.
It's not only women bearing in pains.
Yes, sir.
Whatever problem man is going through today is as a result of that cause. It is about the law.
Amen.
We got into the captivity of Satan. We were under the law of sin. And the soul that sinneth shall die. The freedom we had in God in the Garden of Eden was sold out by what happened between Adam and Eve and serpent.
Amen.
So Satan took control of us.
Amen.
He even said the whole kingdoms of the earth belong to him. And he was not lying.
Yes, sir.
The earth took total control of the earth. But Christ came and broke that law.
Amen.
On the cross of Calvary.
Amen.
And declared that law to those who believed the gospel.
Amen.
That law, Satan has no power again over us.
Amen.
But watch it. The Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. If you don't have that knowledge, if you don't have that knowledge of your freedom, you will remain in bondage. Now, this is the scenario. In Nigeria, the constitution, for instance, guarantees fundamental human rights. Freedom of movement, freedom of association, freedom of this, freedom of that is in the constitution. But are people's rights not being trampled upon today? The same constitution that guaranteed that law also now made a provision and envisaged the trampling of this constitutional right, envisaging that created the cause of law for arbitration.
Amen.
And then created a profession of advocates, the lawyers.
Amen.
So it is spiritually. Envisaging that this law of freedom that has been given to us through Christ on the cross on Calvary, that this liberty will be trampled upon, for whom the Son of Man sets free is free indeed. This same Jesus is known that he is our advocate.
Hallelujah.
And he cannot be an advocate until there is a spiritual court.
Amen.
And that is why he gave us power to cast out devils.
Amen.
Because we have the devil has no right over us again.
Amen.
That is why Christians pray.
Amen.
Prayer is going to the court of law.
Fight for your right.
To fight. Court of justice.
Amen.
To fight for your right.
Amen.
Casting out devils in the name of Jesus that gave us that freedom. And it cannot be resisted. You cast out devils. He said, by his stripes we are healed. And he said, you lay hand on the sick now. The sick will recover.
Hallelujah.
By the authority of that Jesus.
Amen.
That is the meaning of that statement. And the same Bible tells us that every day we wrestle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and power.
Amen.
And they said, but the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. So you notice that Satan will not leave you alone. So it is battle and battle and battle until, according to the agenda, one day you will be bundled up and put in the bottomless pit. And then there won't be such battles again.
Okay.
For about 1,000 years, and then after that, you'll be put in the lake of fire. So for now, the battle continues until the redemption, total redemption.
Mm.
While we're in this flesh, the battles will continue. Okay. Until you die, where you be with the Lord, and such battles are
not. But his question was specific about women bearing.
And that's why I say it's not only women bearing. Don't mention one.
Okay.
I mean, what of sicknesses? Mm. They were also settled on the cross on Calvary.
Okay. So until the redemption of our body and until Satan has been.
That's when we'll be free. Okay. But for now, it is guaranteed. Just go and possess it.
Amen.
When he come, cast him out.
Amen.
When sickness come, lay hand on the sick.
Amen.
And this sign shall follow them that believe.
Amen.
Yes. You must believe.
His second question was about the Lord Jesus Christ worshipped on the Sabbath day. Then after his death,
Lord Jesus Christ, that's one mistake a lot of us make. The New Testament in law, the will, a will is not enforced until the death of the testator.
Amen. Amen.
So the New Testament did not come into effect until Christ himself died and resurrected and went. That was when the New Testament came into effect.
Mm. Amen.
While he was in the flesh, he was still under the law.
Mm.
Because he was born under the law.
Okay.
So, don't mistake it.
Okay.
If the law ended with his death and resurrection.
Amen.
It ended the law because God now instituted a new covenant.
Hallelujah.
And sealed it with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So we are under a new covenant.
Okay.
Now this new covenant is now no more any particular day of worship. There is no law now in any particular day of worship because all those laws and ordinances were speaking of Christ. He fulfilled them.
Okay.
So our rest, our Sabbath is in him now.
Amen.
And nobody changed the law from Saturday to Sunday. It is a tradition of the apostles.
Mm.
Sunday was the day Christ resurrected. And they used to gather every Sunday to remember the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because it is his resurrection that gave us hope.
Amen.
If he didn't resurrect, then we would have no hope.
Mm.
It is not a law. They didn't put it as a law that everybody...
Sunday is not Sabbath.
But they chose the first day of the week to come together, being the day that Christ resurrected, is just to mark his resurrection. And the fact that church and the government of Rome were merged together and it was declared a public holiday. It was a public holiday to allow the Christians to fulfill their tradition.
Mm.
It was not the Pope that brought the Sabbath. So, and it is not a law. And if you don't worship on Sunday, you have not broken any law.
Wow.
But if you say we must worship on Saturday, then you are not a beneficiary of grace.
Okay.
God bless you.
Okay, so Sunday is not Sabbath. Sabbath is Christ.
No, Sabbath is Christ.
Hallelujah. Thank you so much. We hope your question has been answered, sir. Thank you very much, sir. You know, this confusion is very, very rampant today. But we have another question from Adamawa State. Brother Blatty from Adamawa State. Shalom, Pastor. Does the Jephthah really kill his only daughter as a means of sacrifice? And what does it type?
Well, I don't know why you are going to type in.
Okay.
The only thing that I see that typed is in Psalm number 15.
Hmm.
In Psalm number 15, Psalm number 15, verse 1 says, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle?
Amen.
Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? And he mentioned the qualification. When he come to verse 4, he said, in whose eyes a vile person is contempt, but he honored them that fear the Lord. He said, he that sweareth to his own heart.
And changeth not.
And changeth not. And one example that we have in the Bible of a man that swore to his own heart is the story of Jephthah in Judges chapter 11, if you read it from verse 29.
Amen.
You know, where he made a vow that if the Lord would allow him be victorious in this battle he's going. If he comes out back, he said the first thing that will come out of his house, as he comes, the first thing that comes out of his house, he will offer it to him for a burnt offering. And you know what a burnt offering is? It's to kill someone, kill the animal, and throw it, I mean, the smoke going up and things like that. That was what was going on. And when he was coming out, it was his only child, his only daughter that first came out. And you saw how he regretted. Why was he regretting? Because he knew he made a vow that he would kill whatever come out. So if you ask, did he kill? Well, they didn't show us whether he killed her or not. But if we want to bring human right to it, God will not accept human sacrifice. It was not God that said, bring me offering. He was the one that offered it. Mm-hmm. That is why we talk about swearing to your own heart and you will not change. God bless you.
Okay. So I think the bottom line is Psalm 15. It's what this the lesson to learn rather is, yes. Psalm 15. Yes. He swore to his own heart and he did not change.
Exactly.
Okay, Brother Blatty from Adamawa, we hope that is clear. If not, call the pastor and discuss at length with him. Hello, God bless you. Brother Wanze from Nasarawa State.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening, God bless you. You are on air.
Okay, it's Brother Moise from Nasarawa State.
Okay.
Please, my question is from Matthew 12. From 46 to 50. Then, and Matthew 25, 34 to 40.
Matthew 25, 34 to 40.
That Christ was referring to.
Matthew what?
Matthew 12, 46 to 50.
Matthew 12.
46 to 50.
And Matthew, 46 to 50.
Yes, and Matthew 25.
Matthew 25, 34, 40.
34 to 40. Okay, thank you very much, sir. Just pay attention. Who are the brethren? Okay.
Are they the Jews or every Christian?
Okay, are they the Jews or every Christian? Okay. God bless you, sir. Just pay close attention.
In Matthew chapter 12, from verse 46, Jesus was trying to teach us something here on what the true brotherhood is. But let's read it. He said, while he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without. That is his blood, his mother Mary, and the other children
of Joseph.
Through Mary.
Yes, sir.
He says, then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand towards his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever, that is the answer, verse 50, shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister
and mother. Amen.
He was using that to let them know that those related to him, because remember that Joseph is not his father.
Amen.
So he's correcting them. I didn't come for this family. I come for the whole world.
Hallelujah.
Those who be my disciples, they are my father. They are those I'm related to.
Hallelujah.
The will of the Father. Those who do the will of the Father. So he's quickly pointing them. Don't look at this one. My real brethren are those who are created,
who will be born again.
Accept me. If they accept, I'm sent by my Father.
Amen.
Above.
Hallelujah.
Remember, he taught them to pray. He said, pray like this, pray our Father. So, it's pointing to where the true Father is, the real Father is above.
And the real brother.
You are here now, Lumide.
Yes, sir.
And then, you'll be looking at me as a stranger. Then, you'll be pointing at some of your blood relations. He said, these are my brother, this is my sister.
Yes, sir.
My junior sister, who was a Muslim, and the security at the gate came to tell me, say, somebody came and said she's my
sister.
I was with my blood relation, my sister. She was with me. We were in the house talking with her, and then a man I mean, the security came and said, somebody came and said, Sister So-so-so said, she's come to see you. Oh, then I just said, oh, that's my precious sister. let her come in quickly.
Mm.
And then my Muslim
biological
sister is here. I say, who be that your sister? I say, oh, that is my real sister.
Ah.
You are my temporary sister.
Mm.
He said, well, what do you mean? I said, I will live with you only on earth here. That one, I will live with her on earth here and beyond the earth.
Amen.
And that is the
Amen.
True revelation. That is what Christ is trying to
put. Hallelujah.
Now, but when you go to chapter 25, and he mentioned, which verse was he talking about?
Okay, here? Verse 14.
Now, he said, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. And what is it that they did? Verse 35, who said, I was hungered and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer and say unto them, when did we do this? Now, Matthew 25 is the judgment of nations.
Okay.
Now, in chronological placement of divine agenda, now this is ignited during the Great Tribulation, when the Antichrist shall rise up against the Jews, known as the time of Jacob's trouble, or we know today as the time of the Great Tribulation.
Mm.
While you'll be facing to persecute the Jews, they will run. Mm. They will be escaping. Some nations will get the Jews and hide them. It even happened during the Holocaust.
Wow.
This is specifically referring to the Jews during the last 3.5 years of the 7 years that is allotted to them in Daniel chapter 9, the 70 weeks of Daniel. When after the rapture, the gospel goes to them and the Antichrist seated there to be worshipped, and then we know the divine agenda. And so during that persecution by the Antichrist, some people will
help the Jews.
Help the Jews. They are his brethren. How do I know they are his brethren? Zechariah.
Okay.
In chapter 13, verse 6.
Okay.
Where he says, that is when he'll be revealing himself back to them.
Okay.
You know, and one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thy hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Where he'll be revealing himself
to them.
To them.
Hallelujah.
So I remember that he said, you know, when you talk of lineage, he came as a Jew. So the persecution that the Jews will go through, all the individuals and nations that will take
help them
and shield them from the persecution that is coming upon them, they are the ones he referred to as his brethren. He will reward them to enter the kingdom. This kingdom is the millennium. They are the ones that will enter the millennium to repopulate the millennium for 1,000 years for just doing that.
Okay.
So it is to the Jews, while the other one is generally for all believers.
Okay. So the one in Matthew 25, the brethren there is referring to the Jews.
Yes.
The brethren in Matthew 12 is to all believers, the brotherhood.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you so much, Sam. More wisdom, more grace. Sister Precious from Anambra State. Two questions. The first one says, sir, can a believer or a Christian receive the Holy Ghost before water baptism? And then the second question says, if Israel will be saved as a nation, and Jesus is the Messiah they have been waiting for, why then did he come and speak to his fellow Israelites in parables concerning the mystery of salvation, and to his disciples he opened up to them, telling them that the mystery is not meant for the multitude, lest they understand and be converted? Please shed more light on this, sir.
And the first one, yes.
Can a believer receive the Holy Ghost before water baptism?
Yes. In Acts chapter 10, the house
of Cornelius. Okay.
They received the Holy Ghost
Before
water baptism. And it's still happening even now.
Okay, the second question again.
The second question is, if Israel will be saved as a nation and Jesus is the Messiah they have been waiting for, Why then did he
speak in parables to his fellow Israelites?
Yes.
Concerning the mystery of salvation.
Yes.
And then
according
opened
to
up.
The mystery of salvation, by the time Christ came, the prophecy that Isaiah received in Isaiah chapter 6 was already in effect. And the reason God did it in his divine agenda was so that he can make room for the Gentiles to come in.
Hallelujah.
So, you know, why did he blind them? Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 11, verse 25. In fact, the whole of chapter 11 of Romans explains that they were cut off so that we'll be grabbed in. And then in verse 25, it says, blindness in part has come upon Israel
until the fullness of the Gentiles,
become in. That was his own way. He suspended salvation for them because they rejected their Messiah. A type of King Vashti in the book of Esther.
King Ahasuerus
and Queen Vashti.
King Vashti.
In the book of Esther. Because they rejected, he turned to the Gentiles.
Amen.
And Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 13 emphasized that again. You see, you count yourself on what the law will turn to the Gentiles.
Hallelujah.
That is the blindness.
Amen.
But then Apostle Paul says, remember, that verse 29, Romans chapter 11, says, for the gifts and calling of God is without repentance. So don't think that is forever. He will bring them back again.
Amen. Amen. Yes. And also, what about the remnants?
Yes, he called them elect, remnant, because salvation is for the whole world.
Okay.
But not to Israel as a nation.
Okay.
They have to be one here, one.
Okay.
But not a national revival.
Okay.
But there will be a national revival.
Amen. Okay.
After the rapture.
All right. Okay, Sister Precious from Anambra, we hope that's a little bit clear. And if not, you could ask again or contact the pastor privately. Maybe you'll throw more light. Or watch Rapture Watch. I think the pastor will talk about this one of these days. Okay, more questions coming.
Yes.
Brother John Bosco from Ghana.
Sir.
You're on air. God bless you.
My question is, in the book of Revelation chapter 20.
Okay.
10 and 14.
Revelation 20, 10.
Death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire.
Okay, verse 14. Okay. Okay.
Okay. My question is, Hades himself, how can Hades be thrown into the lake? How can Hades be thrown into the lake of fire? Does it mean fire is different from hellfire?
Okay.
My question.
All right. God bless you, sir. Thank you very much, Brother John Bosco from Ghana.
And death and hell
are thrown into the lake of fire.
We are cast into the lake of fire. So the question is,
does it mean hell is different from lake of fire?
Oh, hell.
The difference between hellfire and
hell
lake of fire.
Hell is a place of torment. And when you talk of the lake of fire, you're talking of annihilation. When you are in hell, you are still sin, but you are in torment. But the fire is to totally destroy and turn you to nothing. So, yes, hell is a place of torment. Although it is not comfortable, it is really, really a place of torment. Torment is torment. Very, very unpleasant. But that is just little until you are thrown into the lake of fire so that you, while you are in hell, you can be seen. You can be talked to. Like he saw the story of the rich man and
Luke
Lazarus, the bosom of Abraham. He was in torment, but he was not yet in the lake of fire. But you saw how he was suffering. But by the time you are thrown into the lake of fire, you wouldn't even be able to, you wouldn't even be known at all again. You'd be cleared totally. When you burn, you know, a piece of paper into fire,
ashes.
With fire, it turns to ashes and nothing is left again. That is God's means of cleansing the whole earth and starting eternity afresh.
So I think the confusion is with the traditional way where we say hellfire.
Yes.
So everybody thinks hellfire is that.
No, there is hell, a place of torment.
Okay, and there's the lake of fire.
Yes, and there is exists now.
Mm.
There is paradise, And paradise is not heaven.
Amen.
It is the waiting place
from
where we'll be gathered and then we'll come back to earth here.
Mm.
So it is a resting place.
Mm.
It is another realm.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Mm.
But there is heaven.
Okay.
God's throne.
God's abode.
God's abode, as we know.
Mm.
But there is paradise. For anybody that dies now, your soul is going to either hell or paradise. Hell, place of torment. For every unbeliever that dies, no peace.
Amen.
And paradise is a place where we go and rest.
Amen.
And then we are waiting for when the voice will come. And he said he will gather from the whole end of the earth. Yes, we are there relaxing. And then he will say, oh yeah, it's time to come and take over. Mm. Then we gather and we come down here and rule here for 1,000 years.
Hallelujah. Okay, Brother John Bosco from Ghana, I think that's clear enough. Hell is different from the lake of fire. And hell and death to be cast into the lake of fire according to Revelation 20:14.
Mm.
God bless you, sir. More questions. Sister Amaka from Abuja. Greetings in the name of the Lord. Pastor, God bless you abundantly. Please throw more light on Leviticus chapter 27, verse 1 to 6. Okay, pay attention while he throws more light.
Chapter 27, verse
1 to 6.
And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, spoke unto the children of Israel, and said unto them, when a man shall make a singular vow, the person shall be for the Lord by thy estimation. I read again, when a man shall make a singular vow, the persons shall be for the Lord by thy estimation, here, valuation.
Mm.
And thy estimation shall be of the male from 20 years old, even unto 60 years old, even thy estimation shall be 50 shekels of silver, after the shekel of the sanctuary. Okay? And if it be a female, then thy estimation shall be 30 shekels. And if it be from 5 years old, even unto 20 years old, then thy estimation shall be of the male 20 shekels, and for the female 10 shekels. And verse 6. And if it be from a month old, even unto 5 years old, then thy estimation shall be of the male 5 shekels of silver, and for the female thy estimation shall be 3 shekels of silver. Now, watch it here. Watch, it's talking about valuation of a vow, singular vow. Now, you get this picture clearer when you read on. That is where you get the meaning of redeem.
Okay.
So what he's saying is that if you, for instance, you make a vow.
Yes, sir.
Of a person. I bow myself, I give myself to the Lord.
Okay.
Now, when you say you give yourself to the Lord, you are a human being. What the scripture is talking about is that you will value. God is not interested in human beings being thrown in the temple. What you have to do is, for this age, for this gender, male or female, this is how you will be the estimation of it.
Okay. To redeem the vow.
To redeem it. So you keep it back. You drop that offering. Mm. That is just as simple as that.
Okay.
Mm. Yes.
And different ages have different.
Different ages, even for animals.
Okay.
If you go further to verse 26. If you go to verse 26, it says, only the firstling of the beast, which should be the Lord's firstling, because it belongs to the Lord.
Okay.
No man shall sanctify it, whether it be ox or sheep. It is the Lord's. Then, and if it be of an unclean beast, then He shall redeem it according to thine estimation, and shall add a fifth part of it thereof. Or if it be not redeemed, then it shall be sold according to thy estimation. So you have to take note of it.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, sir.
God bless
you. So, our precious sister, we hope your question has been properly answered. Okay, we have a question from Cameroon. Brother Damian from Southern Cameroon. Shalom, sir. What is the importance of falling under anointing? Is falling under anointing a way we receive the Holy Spirit? If yes, why do some people fall and their lives do not change? Is there any scripture of anyone falling under anointing in the Bible? The Bible says he will send us a comforter. How can the Holy Spirit, a comforter, throw us down and even injure us? Is it not demons manifesting?
We must be very, very careful when we try to analyze, you know, the move of the Spirit.
Amen.
Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 spoke about different
manifestations
in operation, difference in administration, differences in operation.
Mm.
So we have to be very, very careful. That's why we need a discernment of the Spirit.
Amen.
Yes, the Holy Ghost can come upon you and, you know, you will see different manifestations. You can fall down.
Amen.
You know, you can scream. Tears can come out of your eyes.
Amen.
And yet you are not in pains.
Mm.
It's a manifestation of the Spirit. You could feel fire sensations. You could just be shouting. You could just be dancing.
Amen.
They are all different manifestations as we study the move of the Spirit from Pentecost until now.
Mm.
The restoration of the gifts. In the Bible, the visible manifestation were speaking in tongues,
prophecy.
But as the church moved on, Apostle Paul let us know that there are also other manifestations.
Hallelujah.
Yes, we didn't see people. The only people we saw, you know, vexed are those who were possessed with evil spirits. And when Christ cast them away, and even the apostles. Yes, but the Holy Ghost also manifests. Like you rightly said, what we want to see is what happens
after
that manifestation.
Hallelujah.
For the demon, the problem of the person lives, goes. After that manifestation, the demon goes.
Amen.
So, the person is the one to testify that he's now free.
Amen.
Okay. For the Christian, after that manifestation, there will be a change of life. Life will change.
Amen.
So, we are not after what happens, but what is going on, but the effect of what happened. You know, what is the result of that manifestation. But I've also gotten to learn, you know, why some people fall under anointing. And some of them, very violent anointing too. And some of them, it happens almost every service.
That's true.
The Bible says, I stand at the door and knock. We know it was that scripture in Revelation chapter 3 is talking about the door of that age. But we can also apply it
to the individual. Amen.
When the Spirit wants to come in and you resist Him, you are a predestinated seed. Most of the time, it is somebody wrestling with the angel of the Lord, with the Spirit of the Lord, He wants to come into your heart, but you are not ready for Him.
Wow.
Yes. So, sometimes it happens.
Okay.
It is God knocking. And that is why when they leave, their life will not change. They still go on. The next time again, the Holy Ghost will arrest them and it will continue like that until He gives it.
Wow.
So it is a sign of a stubborn, predestinated seed of God.
Wow.
But eventually that person will give up.
Okay. Okay, we have Sister Priscilla from Imo State. Okay, Sister Priscilla, you're on air. God bless you.
My question is taken from Revelation 21.
Revelation 21. Yes, ma. Go ahead.
Verse 2,
okay.
About the New Jerusalem.
Okay.
I want to know if the New Jerusalem is somewhere hanging. Okay. That on that day, if we come back.
Okay. Thank you very much, ma'am. Okay. God bless you, ma. Thank you. Pay close attention as the pastor answers.
Chapter 21. Let's read it from verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. That is when the earth is recreated. That is for the millennium to begin. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. This is how you saw it. Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, you will notice that it's a description of the new Jerusalem. Verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride.
Amen.
The Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear and crystal. And if you look at the description of that city in verse 19, the foundation of the wall of that city, we are garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second, and the third, and the fourth, like that. And how many are there? There were 12.
12. That's right.
You see, in a nutshell, the new Jerusalem is the bride of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ said in John chapter 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. The mansions in my Father's house that he spoke about is what we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 5.
Amen.
For we know that if our earthly house, the earthly house of this tabernacle, we are dissolved. This earthly house is my body here now. This is my earthly house. It's not my address. Mm. It's not a mansion anybody is living in.
Mm.
We are dissolved. Say, we have a building of God.
A mansion of God.
And a house not made with hands.
Amen.
It says, eternal in the heavens.
Hallelujah.
So it is our spiritual bodies.
Amen.
That is our house.
Amen.
And this house, which is our spiritual body, symbolically referred to as mansions.
Amen.
Where we will dwell. And the city is made up of houses.
Hallelujah.
So the city, the new Jerusalem, is the bride of Jesus Christ. We are Christ dwell among us.
Amen.
God is said dwell among us.
Amen.
And he's the light of us all.
Amen.
And so it is just a depiction of
the bride
of Jesus Christ.
Okay, you could get this sermons that have been preached by a pastor. The city that Abraham saw.
The title, yes.
The city that Abraham saw. That's the title of the sermon. And also another sermon, another topic on Rapture Watch. The city that John saw. In those two, in the sermon and in that episode of Rapture Watch, the pastor spoke very much at length concerning this topic, the New Jerusalem. The city that Abraham saw. God bless you, ma. Sister Priscilla from Imo State. Okay, sir, final words from our pastor. Our time is up.
Yes. Study.
Amen.
Because the bride cannot be in darkness again.
Amen.
The light has shone. That is why we call ourselves the lighthouse.
Amen.
Where we are shining the light of the gospel to the whole world.
Amen.
You won't live in darkness. You won't be deceived. For remember, this is the age of deceit.
Amen.
And the only thing that will save you from this deceitful world, deceitful spirit that is going on now, is your perfect knowledge
Hallelujah.
Of the word of God. That's what we try to do in this ministry.
Amen.
As you visit us any day, feel free. Our numbers are on the screen. Our social media accounts are shown.
Amen.
Just feel free to contact us. We'll be coming like this once
in
every
month. Amen.
Every
to third
answer
Monday.
Your question. It actually is the third week, the third Monday
week.
Of every month. We try to be here except any other program overtakes it.
Amen.
We'll be announced. We'll try And we hope that we even have more time than what
Amen.
We have allotted.
Yes, sir.
So that we
more questions
can
be answered.
Answer more questions. And from time to time, during our live services, we allow question and answers.
Amen.
And send them, we will read them during such services.
Amen.
And then try to answer them.
Amen.
We look forward to seeing you all. May we all remain rapturable
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Shalom, and to meet again from all of us at the Bright TV, we say God bless you. Shalom.